Good morning. And we are so glad that you're here. And as you can tell, just like last week when one of the elders, Ryan Bornsherger, preached. And by the way, didn't he do a good job? Yeah. You know, for being able to do it, get something out, spur of the moment, it did a very good job. Thank you, Ryan. And just like last week when he preached, I am not the main preacher. I am not Dusty Delafield. He's in fact sitting right over there. He's still out with his finger, and he's been in a lot of pain and a lot of medication. So we wish you well, Dusty. We hope that you get better soon. So my name is David Herbert. I am the youth minister here at the church. And if this is your first time, or even if you've been here since the very beginning, we want to welcome you to Miamitown Church of Christ. Now, I thought it was appropriate with Halloween being tomorrow, and kind of also when Ryan preached on heroes last week, this kind of fits in a little bit there. And with all of us spending a lot of time these past couple years wearing them, today we're going to be talking about the masks that we wear. Now, me personally, I've never been a big fan of masks. And having to wear them during the pandemic made me dislike them even more. But masks have always been in the world of theater and television. For many years, in fact, the ancient Greeks used masks in their theatrical performances on a regular basis. You think about TV and you have people like Zorro. Should be a picture up there. Almost. There you go. And you also have people like the Lone Ranger. All right. They wore masks. They wore masks for different reasons. And anybody that knows anything about comic books or comic book movies will tell you that superheroes like Batman and Robin, okay, they've been using masks for a long time to conceal their true identity. You know, in the book Dropping Your Guard, Christian author Chuck Swindoll says he believes that there is a mask for every occasion. And I think the reality is that we all have a few masks of our own. Now, they're not physical masks, but invisible masks that we put on different occasions and with certain people. But we don't talk about them, and we even pretend that we aren't wearing them. Now, having said that, I wonder how many of you here this morning are wearing a mask. Today, we're going to be looking at three different masks that I think that we all tend to put on from time to time. But before we do that, let's pray. Lord, you are incredible. You are our God. You are amazing. And Lord, as I give this message today, thank you so much for allowing me to do this. But also, Lord, I pray that you be with the congregation. You be with the hearts of the people listening. You be with the minds of the people listening. And Lord, I pray that they hear what you want them to get out of this message today. Lord, be with us all. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So the first mask that I see a lot is called the I'm fine mask. Yeah, I got a lot of groans and things like that with that one. You know, it's those times throughout the day when someone asks you how you're doing, you look at them, you smile a big smile and say, I'm fine. I think that this mask is perfectly defined by the song Truth Be Told by Matthew West. Listen to the words of this song.
So let the truth be told. There's a sign on the door, says come as you are, but I doubt it. Cause if we live like that was true, every Sunday morning pew would be crowded. But didn't you say church should look more like a hospital? A safe place for the sick, the sinner and the scarred and the prodigals like me. Truth be told, the truth is rarely told. Oh, am I the only one who says I'm fine? Yeah, I'm fine, oh, I'm fine, hey, I'm fine, but I'm not. I'm broken, and when it's out of control, I say it's under control, but it's not. And you know it, I don't know why it's so hard to admit it.
Perhaps you or someone you love is facing an illness or a situation that scares the daylights out of you, but you don't want anyone to know it. So when someone asks you how you're doing, you smile and you say, I've never been better. But in reality, you've never been worse. Maybe you're having problems at home, and since you don't want anyone to know how bad you're hurting, when they ask you how you're making it, you say, oh, I'm fine. But in reality, there's nothing further from the truth. Some of you may have recently lost loved ones or close friends, yet you never leave home without putting on your I'm fine mask because you want to give everyone the impression that you're being strong. On the inside, your heart is breaking. But let me remind you what the Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 10. He said, this is why for Christ's sake that I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Let me repeat that. For when I am weak, then I am strong. When you put on the I'm fine mask, you don't have to worry about admitting how frightened or upset you may actually be. Dr. John Claypool once served as the pastor of Crescent Hill Baptist Church in Louisville, Kentucky. During his time there, he had a 10-year-old daughter who was suffering with leukemia. When she went into remission, everybody hoped that she had been healed, but unfortunately, the leukemia returned. And after suffering terribly for 2 weeks, this little girl looked up at her father and said, Daddy, did you talk to God about my leukemia? He assured her, yes, I have talked to him, and many other people are praying for you as well. Then she looked at him and said, what did God say when you asked him how long my leukemia would last? Claypool was physically, emotionally, and spiritually exhausted and really didn't know how to respond to his daughter's question, and just a few hours later, she passed away. He wrote a book many years later called The Tracks of a Fellow Struggler. And in this book, Claypool recalls the incident by saying, what do you say to your daughter when you can't help her and the heavens are silent? The next morning the next Sunday morning after his daughter had passed away, he actually preached. got up at the pulpit, and many of the people at Crescent Hill Baptist Church came out of that service saying that it was one of the most powerful messages that he has ever preached. His text came from Isaiah chapter 31, chapter 40, verse 31, which says, "But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary, and they will walk and not be faint." And in the sermon, Dr. Claypool said something like this: "There are three stages in life. Sometimes we mount up with wings like eagles and we soar to new heights. During this stage of our lives, we feel great. Everything around us is going great and we couldn't be happier. But then there's sometimes we run and we don't grow weary. We just kind of cruise through our daily routine. During this time in our lives, we are so busy that we don't take the time to stop and reflect on everything that God has done for us and how he has blessed us during our time. But then there's times in our lives when all we can do is walk and don't grow faint." Dr. Claypool looked out over this vast congregation that morning, and instead of wearing his "I'm fine" mask, he ripped it off and showed his vulnerability and confessed to them that this was exactly where he was at that particular moment. And he asked them to pray for him and his family. At one of the lowest points of his life, God used him to preach one of the most influential and powerful messages of his ministry. In fact, you could argue that his greatest contribution came at his darkest hour. See, Dr. Claypool could testify to the truth of the statement, "For when I am weak, then I am strong." You know, there are people who try to hide behind their "I'm fine" mask because they mistakenly believe they can handle anything that comes their way. This is what I believe God wants to say about the "I'm fine" masks that we put on. Hiding doesn't help, but freedom is found in surrender. Hiding doesn't help, but freedom is found in surrender. James chapter 5, verse 16 says, "Therefore confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective." We have to realize we are not always fine. We have to embrace vulnerability and admit that we are struggling with hidden sin, broken over relational conflict in our families and our friend groups, lonely and depressed from lack of meaningful friendships, and or fearful about the future. If we don't confess these things to each other, we're never going to be healed from them. If we continue to walk around with this "I'm fine" mask on, we will miss out on the things that God promises us in the passage in James. It is only when we surrender to Jesus that we will finally find freedom. Chuck Swindoll once said, I believe the church, that Christ wants his church to be unshockable. A fellowship where people can come in and say, "I'm sunk, I'm beat, I've had it." Basically, take off their "I'm fine" mask. And I believe he's right. People need to know that they can come to church to be loved and accepted for who they are. They need to know they can come to church and find people who care more about them than what they did in their past. They need to know that they can come to church and find people who are willing to help bear their problems. They need to come to know that they can share their problems with someone at church without worrying about whether this person is going to go home and tell everyone else what they said. If you've got your "I'm fine" mask on this morning, I hope you realize that you can take it off, because there are people all over this audience, all over this auditorium this morning, who love you and are willing to help you through whatever situation you may be dealing with this morning. That's what the Apostle Paul had in mind when he told the church of Galatia to carry each other's burdens. So the first mask is "I'm fine." The second mask that I think that you might be keeping with you throughout your life is the chameleon mask. How many of you guys have ever seen the movie Monsters, Inc.? A few? Okay. What is your favorite character in Monsters, Inc.? Is it Mike Wazowski? Yeah? What about Solly? People like Solly? What about Roz? Now, Roz is the lady that's behind the counter who says, "I'm watching you, Wazowski, always watching." How many of you love the character Randall? Okay, we got one. Okay. See, Randall is the villain. That's someone you're not supposed to like. But Randall is the villain in the movie, and he is a chameleon-like monster. He's jealous of Mike and Sully's success and hates their desire to not want to scare kids. So he uses his chameleon powers to blend in with his surroundings and mess with Mike and Sully. Now, usually, we don't like Randall. But I think we put on the chameleon mask more than we care to admit. How do we do it? Well, we change depending on who we're with. We act like one person at home. We act like another person at work. And a different person altogether when we hang out with our friends or when we come to church. And we all do this to some degree, don't we? We want to be liked. We want others to like us. We want people to like us. There's also sometimes we don't want anyone to see the real us. So we change. I heard a story once about a man who lived up in the mountains of East Tennessee. One Monday morning, he came into town all dressed up in his best clothes and bought a ticket to the train station. A friend saw him and said, "Hey, Joe, what you doing? Where are y'all going dressed up like that?" Joe stopped and said, "I know, I've been hearing about this place called New Orleans. I hear they've got a lot of free running liquor there and a lot of gambling and a lot of good peep shows, if you know what I mean." His friend looked at him and said, "But Joe, that doesn't explain why you're taking your Bible with you." Joe winked at him and said, "Well, if it's as good as they say it is, I may just stay till Sunday." Fortunately, that kind of thing happens every single weekend all over this nation. People do whatever they want all throughout the week. Then they put on their chameleon mask and come to church. During the time of Christ, the Pharisees were some of the most well-respected religious leaders in Israel. Most people consider the Pharisees to be the most holy and righteous people in the land of Israel. And even Jesus' disciples were confused when he told them that if they wanted to enter the kingdom of God, that their righteousness would have to be greater than the Pharisees. You see, Jesus knew something about that the disciples and everyone else didn't know. He could see right through the chameleon mask that the Pharisees were wearing, and he knew that they were not nearly as holy and righteous as they wanted everyone to believe. One occasion, a prominent Pharisee asked Jesus and his disciples to dine with him. Jesus accepted, and when they arrived at the house, Jesus went in, he sat down, and he prepared to eat. Well, the Pharisee noticed that Jesus didn't go through the ceremonial washing of his hands that all good Pharisees perform before they eat, and he was noticeably disturbed by this. Jesus immediately recognized that the Pharisee had been offended, and he said in Luke 11:39, "You Pharisees clean the outside of the dish, but inside you are full of greed and wickedness." He also says in Matthew chapter 23, verses 27 and 28, "Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You are like whitewashed tombs, which look beautiful on the outside, but on the inside are full of bones of the dead and everything unclean. In the same way, on the outside, you appear to people as righteous, but on the inside, you're full of hypocrisy and wickedness." This is something that I want to make sure that all of you understand this morning. You see, you may be able to fool most people into believing that you are some kind of super Christian, but you cannot fool God. He sees right through your chameleon mask and straight into your heart. He knows whether you are who and what you claim to be. He knows whether you are living out your faith on a daily basis or whether you simply put on your chameleon mask before leaving home on a Sunday morning. Someone once said that the number one reason people don't believe in God or come to church is because of the people they know who claim to be Christians, yet live like and act like unbelievers Monday through Saturday. Here's the sad truth. We're all hypocrites. Christians, yes, get a bad rap because we sometimes say one thing and do another, but let's face it, we're humans. It happens. The best way that we can respond to this criticism is by, one, owning it and directing people to the fact that this is exactly why we need Jesus. And two, taking off our chameleon mask and asking the Holy Spirit to change us from the inside out so that we can live more consistently. Being a Christian means we are in a relationship with God, the God who made us, walking with him daily, letting him tell us who we are and showing his love to the world. This is why I'm asking all of us to take off of our chameleon masks, because pleasing people is pointless, but pleasing God gives us power. Pleasing people is pointless, but pleasing God gives you power. When we realize that Jesus died on the cross and came back from the dead, and that God has given us the same Holy Spirit power that raised Jesus from the dead, when we realize that God is a proud father who adores us, cheers us on, and loves us, even though he knows our deepest and darkest secrets, and that he still wants to use us to change the world for his kingdom, that should fire us up. That is power. It makes what people think about us less and less important. When you know who you are and you're secure as a child of God, you don't have to go searching for someone else to validate your existence. God knew you before you were even a thought in your parents' mind. Before the stars and the planets hung in space, you were on God's mind. So again, the first mask is I'm fine. And the second mask is the chameleon mask. The third mask I think that we put on is the labels mask. How many of you in here have ever felt labeled? Someone said something about you and it marked you in a big way. It could have been when you were 8 years old, or it could have been yesterday. But what they said stuck and it stung. You can't shake it. You can't forget it. It creeps up and plays on repeat in those moments when you're in a certain location, or when you're alone with your thoughts, or when you're just feeling inadequate. It could be that someone said you were stupid or ugly or fat, or you would never measure up. Someone based your looks on a number scale, or they said your dreams are never going to come true. That's one way of being labeled. But there's another way that I think we are living behind a mask of labels. These may be a little more difficult to pinpoint, but I think they're as equally destructive to us in figuring out who we are. Yes, others label us, but we label ourselves. You might be thinking, well, isn't that what we're supposed to be doing? Don't we get to decide who we want to be? Can't we be anything we put our mind to? Don't I get to determine what feels right and what I believe? Well, that is what our culture tells us. Media, textbooks, celebrities, teachers, authors, musicians, articles, and friends, even our families can often give us this postmodern message that you determine your own reality. For example, Ben, this one's for you. If you form your identity on being a football player, let's say you spent your whole life working up to that point to be a football player. You went through high school as a football player. That was what you were. You get to college. You get there on a scholarship. You play your first game, and you tear your ACL. And you're out. No more football for you. Who are you at that point? If you spend your whole life studying and or training or fighting for a certain cause or to get to a certain school or a certain job, what happens when you actually get the thing you wanted? It won't be enough. You feel empty. Why? Because we're made by God. And our hearts will always be searching for our value or purpose until we find those things in Jesus alone. Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse 11 says this, "Yet when I surveyed all that my hands had done and what I had toiled to achieve, everything was meaningless, a chasing after the wind. Nothing was gained under the sun." We not only put on a mask of what others have labeled us, but when we label ourselves anything other than a child of God, living for Him and obeying Him, doing things His way, we are still wearing masks. We won't truly be free. So what is the answer to our identity crisis? How can we take all of these masks off? How can we live without these labels? Do it by believing the true identity that God has given us. Only God gets to say who we are. Only God gets to say who we are. How many of you have seen or read The Chronicles of Narnia? It's a good book series. You guys may be familiar with The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. That's the first book in the series. They made a couple movies out of it. But there's another book in that series called A Horse and His Boy. And spoiler alert, I'm about to ruin the ending of the book for you. Sorry. The entire book is about a servant boy named Shasta who runs away from his unloving and harsh master, who is a fisherman. Together with his new friend, who happens to be a talking horse, Shasta goes off on an adventure and ends up saving the world. And at the end, he arrives at the king's palace just in time to warn him about the approaching enemy that is on their way. Throughout the whole story, Shasta sees everything about himself as just an orphan boy with no home and no purpose. But in the end, we find out that he's actually the king's son, who was kidnapped as a baby. He's a prince, but for his entire life, he did not live that way. He lived with a mask. You too are princes and princesses. You guys are children of the King, the Creator God who created the world and knows how it works best. He is a good king, both loving and just, and to be his heir means everything to this life. You no longer have to search for your identity. And because of your newfound status, you can take the masks off. You're not afraid to say, "I'm not fine." You don't have to be a chameleon trying to fit in, and what others have said about you no longer sticks because you are royalty. What culture feeds you about who you should be now should just seem silly. What you told yourself about who you are and what you are seems so small now, not only to what the king says about you, but to who you truly are, a son and a daughter of the Most High God. I want to read a letter to you. It's called the Father's Love Letter. And this is what God says from Scripture about you. It's actually in your bulletin for you guys to take home if you want to follow along when I read it. Let what God says about who you are fill your heart and touch your spirit. It says this, "My child, you may not know me, but I know everything about you. I know when you sit down and when you rise up. I am familiar with your ways. Even the very hairs on your head are numbered, for you were made in my image. In me you live and move and have your being. I chose you when I planned creation. You were not a mistake, for all your days are written in my book. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. I knit you together in your mother's womb and brought you forth on the day you were born. I have been misrepresented by those who don't know me. I am not distant and angry, but I am the complete expression of love. And it is my desire to lavish my love on you, simply because you are my child and I am your father. I offer you more than your earthly father ever could, for I am the perfect father. Every good gift that you receive comes from my hand, for I am your provider and I meet all your needs. My plan for your future has always been filled with hope because I love you with an everlasting love. My thoughts towards you are countless as the sand on the seashore. If you seek me with all your heart, you will find me, for I am your greatest encourager. I am also the Father who comforts you in all your troubles. As a shepherd carries a lamb, I have carried you close to my heart. One day I will wipe away every tear from your eyes, and I'll take away all the pain you have suffered on this earth. I am your Father, and I love you even as I love my Son, Jesus. For in Jesus, my love for you is revealed. He is the exact representation of my being. He came to demonstrate that I am for you, not against you. And I tell you that I am not counting your sins. Jesus died so that you and I could be reconciled. His death was the ultimate expression of my love for you. I gave up everything I loved that I might gain your love. If you receive the gift of my Son Jesus, you will receive me. And nothing will ever separate you from my love again. Come home, and I'll throw the biggest party heaven has ever seen. I have always been Father, and I will always be Father. My question is, will you be my child? I am waiting for you. Love, your Dad, Almighty God. Pray with me. Lord, thank you. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for being with us. Thank you for caring for us. Thank you for being our Father. Lord, I pray that as we go out today, as we leave this church, as we leave the comfort of here and the place where we worship and praise you, I pray as we go out into the world, we still show that. Lord, help us take off any mask that we have on our face and be our true selves. Be the prince and princess of you. Be the sons and daughters of you. Show your love to each and every person that's out there, Lord. Lord, we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.